Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
Thanks, Pastor. God bless you. Hello. Everybody okay? Well, you're actually better than you think you are. I was reading the Bible. It says you're seated in heavenly places. Wow. Not just here in Edmonton, you're seated in heavenly places, and you have been blessed with all spiritual blessings. Wow, you better go to the bank and find out what's yours. See, that's what's happening. We don't even know what is ours. Because we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, God says we're joint heirs with Jesus. That means anything Jesus has, we have equal share. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Say yes. 1 John, chapter 3, verse 1. It starts out like this, behold, but it's every other behold in the Bible is different than that behold. Like Luke 10:19, behold, I give you power to trample on serpents and scorpions. That behold means focus, firmly focus. But 1 John 3 is a different kind of focus. Here's what it says. I'd have to paraphrase it so you can get it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, here's the behold. You'd have to bug your eyes out, drop your mouth open and go, Can you imagine what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us that we'd be called, identified, and classified as the sons of God? Wow, wow. You better be thankful God has called you a son. Now, I'm talking to women, too. Now, if I can be a bride, you can be a son. Well, don't you think? Yeah. But see, we need to learn about who we are and what is available to us. We are seated in heavenly places. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings. I'm writing a book called All Things. Wow. All things are possible to him that believes. Now, I'm telling you, when all things includes everything, doesn't it? All things. I don't know where we get this thing that somehow, we're kind of restricted on what we can do. No, the Lord has lifted the lids of limitation. Here's what he said. These works that I do and greater works than these shall you do. Wow, that put the bar pretty high, didn't it? These works that I do and what? That means bigger, better. Wow, that's almost unbelievable. Now, who said that? Jesus. Now, Jesus won't lie. Isn't that amazing? So what I'm trying to tell you is this. Quit listening to the devil when he says you're not qualified, that you're too weak. No, God's power is in you. The same power that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what the Bible said. If the Spirit that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead dwell not in you, you're none of his. Does that sound like the Holy Ghost is optional? No, he's absolutely essential. Not one single miracle is recorded in your Bible that Jesus did in the New Testament till he was filled with Holy Ghost. Acts 10:38, he got filled with Holy Ghost, didn't he? Acts 10:38 says God did something. What did he do? He anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. We can't do a single thing without Holy Ghost. John 15:5, without me you can do nothing. But Philippians 4:13 says, through him, by him, in him, we can do all things. It is God that is infused us with power. We'll read it in a moment just to talk about how sufficient Christ has made us for any task he would assign us to do. He'd be unjust to give us a task without a touch, an assignment without an anointing. That would be unjust, wouldn't it? I'm just here to tell you, everything you need, you have if you learn how to access it. We got to learn how to access it. You access it by what? Obedience. Obedience. Obedience is a great word that's almost an unheard word in the church. I'll do whatever I want. Well, you won't have the power of God then. There's a way that seems right, but there's no power in that. God's way is the only way. And I've been in this thing 50 years. This is my 50th year preaching, Pastor. Hey, I've averaged speaking 5 times a week for 50 years. I'm living proof practice won't make perfect. This is my 50th year preaching. I've averaged speaking 5 times a week for 50 years. Wow, wow. Now, I'm here to tell you, God means what he says, and he will accomplish what he promised you. All of his promises are yes and what? Amen. He will not give you a promise that he will not fulfill. Job 42:2 says, oh God, I know anything you set your heart to do can't be stopped. Wow. Job 40. Genesis 18, 14. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Luke 1, 37 says, with men, things are impossible, but with God, nothing's impossible. I'm telling you guys, God wants us to take the lids of limitation off. Here's what he told me. He said, tell the body of Christ, accept no imitation so they can expect no limitation. Now, what's an imitation? An imitation. A counterfeit, a fault, a fake. We got to get it right for God to get along with us. Now, do you believe there's some fakes out there? Oh, there's a message. There's some crazy messages out there. I was reading the book of Timothy. It says, latter days, people are standing in pulpits teaching doctrines taught by devils. That's what the Bible says. You say, what are you talking about? Hyper grace would be one. Hyper grace that teaches even the devil's going to be saved. Now, that sounds like a doctrine a demon would teach to me, don't it? To you? Hyper grace, ultimate reconciliation, is of the devil. The devil's not going to get saved. Now, I believe in grace, but not this hyper grace that says you don't even have to repent. It's all covered. That's not what the Bible said. If we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of sin, there remains no more sacrifice for that sin, but a fearful looking of fiery indignation. That's the book of Hebrews. If you just make up your mind, well, I'm covered in grace, I can sin. Nope. You're going to get a spiritual spanking. And God knows how to do it, don't he? If you be without chastisement, you're illegitimate. If you can sin habitually and God not correct you, you've never been born again. That's the only real acid test you can find out for sure. All the sons he receives, he chastens. He corrects, disciplines. Well, okay. Everybody okay? Got a lot of stuff to talk about. I really mean that. A lot of stuff to talk about. One of the number one questions ask every day. Guess what the number one question is ask every day? Hey, what time is it? I believe the body of Christ ought to be asking the prophets, hey, what time is it? If anybody on earth should know the timing, it should be the prophets of God. We're supposed to have that anointing rested upon the sons of Issachar. They had understanding of the times to know what Israel should be committing themselves to. This is not a time to be vague. This is a time to be firmly focused. This is a time to start walking in Ephesians 5, 14 through 18. Walk with gold, aim, and true purpose. Don't meander around vaguely in foolishness. Have a plan. God, Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1 said, there is a time to cease, like that beard. Do you do that? It looks nice. And yeah. No, it looks good. Mine grows out, and mine looks like a wild walrus. These guys, look at them. Looks like a polished beaver. Look at that. Wow. Ecclesiastes 3:1. It says, there's a time and a purpose and a season for every activity of God under heaven. A time, a season, a purpose for every activity of God under heaven. You read Acts chapter 2, didn't you? Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, they were all in, no, they were all in one place in one accord. Now see, here's the deal. You better be in the geographical location you're supposed to be in, or there won't be any grace to be where you are. If you're not where you're supposed to be, there's no grace to be where you are. What? I said I'm screaming. If you're not where you're supposed to be, there's no grace to be where you are. Where's an example of that in the Bible? Well, King David would work. When it came time for the kings to go to battle, David tarried still in Jerusalem. Whoa! His place was out there in the leading armies. But he decided, he's king, he decided, I'll just stay in Jerusalem. Now, one of the number one ways you find out you're out of the will of God, you find discontentment within you. David was laying on the bed. Remember, he's discontented. And then he got up and started walking on the housetop. Remember the story? And see, there's discontentment, and then there's always going to be demonic distraction. He heard somebody giggling off the other side of the rooftop, and he looked down there in the hot tub. Good God, there's Bathsheba. Now, you see what I'm talking about? No, if you're not where you're supposed to be, there's no grace to be where you are. Are you in the geographical place? David wasn't where he was supposed to be, no grace to be where he was, and the sword never left his house from that one act of disobedience. Now, I told you a while ago, obedience is important. I told you I've been preaching 50 years, five times a week. If we were to come up here and say, Bobby, could you give me any advice for being successful? Here it is. Swift and complete obedience. Do as quickly as you can, as thoroughly as you can, anything and everything God asks you to do. Disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. Disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. Guys, you and I need to obey. Now, God can get you in hammerlock if he has to. That's Jonah. No way! Nineveh way. 3 days later, he had an itinerary change, didn't he? God can tweak you if you need to be. Yeah, don't get stubborn and think you can outstare him. I'm telling you. Wow. Well, what's God talking about now? He's talking about us getting back to first love. If there's one big word looming over the body of Christ worldwide, it's the word recalibration. Recalibration, getting back to the original point of accuracy. Remember it says in Revelations 2:4, the church had abandoned their first love. We got to get back. We got to recalibrate, get back to the original point of accuracy. I told you the last time I was here, I stood and said, the biggest battle the church will ever fight is Proverbs 23:23. What does that say, brother? It says, pay the price for truth and don't sell it for anything. Pay the price for truth and don't sell it for anything. I tell you, we need, it says in the book of Isaiah, truth has fallen in the streets. We got to rescue truth, hadn't we? Why is truth so important? John 17:17, did you read that? John 17:17 says, sanctify them being us, the people of God, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. The word sanctify means clean up, set apart for the service of God. We got to clean up, set apart for the service of God, the saints of God. And you can't do it without truth. Now, truth is the word of God. Actually, just to be quite honest with you, truth is just, it's a person. Jesus said, I'm the way, and the life. And I'll tell you, the Bible is a person. The Bible said, and the word became what? And dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Well, see, one of the things I think that's pretty condemning is how shallow we are in the word of God. We got to get into the word of God and let the word of God get into us. James 1:22 said, we must become a doer and not just a mere hearer of the Bible. We got to believe it to the point of action. That's when you really, when the word of God moves on you in such a way, it activates something in you. Don't you like activation? Don't you like impartation? Let me tell you about activation, impartation. You're going to get one tonight, whether you want it or not. I'm serious as I can be. God said, Bobby, that's me. Go where I tell you to go, Edmonton. Do what I tell you to do when you get there. I'll give the people, whether they want it or not, an impartation. You believe in impartation, don't you? Did you read Romans 1:11? Romans 1:11 says, I yearn to be with you that I might impart to you a spiritual enabling that will equip you for the task that is at hand. And he says in verse 12 of Romans 1, it'll be good for both of us. Mutually beneficial. Let's think about that just for a moment. You said, you mean I'm going to get an impartation whether I want it or not? How could that happen? That's exactly what I said to God. God, how can I tell them they're going to get an impartation whether they want it or not? He said, you can get around somebody infectious and you can be contaminated. Get in the elevator, somebody sneezes, you'll go home with the flu. But here's the deal. You're going to catch an anointing tonight. What's it going to be like, brother? Hebrews 13:20-21. Hebrews 13:20-21 says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the everlasting, never failing covenant, make you perfect. Give you everything you need to accomplish the task you're sent to do. So that's what you're going to get. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead, the Lord, you heard it, didn't you? By the blood of the everlasting, never failing covenant, make you perfect. So I looked up the Greek word make you perfect means missing no component. Everything you need, you have. That's also Colossians chapter 1, chapter 2, verse 9 says, all that God is in Christ. And then Colossians 2:10 says, all that Christ is in you. Wow. It says in Colossians, it pleased the Father that the fullness of deity would dwell in Jesus Christ. The fullness of deity. And then it says, all that Christ is in you. See, we're trying to figure out who are we and what are we supposed to be doing. You know who we are? There's a whole list of titles that God gives you in the Bible. Here's one of them. Revelations 1, 5, and 6. I'm stroking his beard for him. Revelations 1, 5, and 6 says, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us to be kings and priests. I don't know what that is. Apparently it does nothing. There's enough buttons here to launch a shuttle. I know some of you go, well, I don't know. I can't keep up with him. I'm trying to outrun you. Jesus, every time he talked, he didn't want most of the people to understand what he said.
Exactly right.
Why? Because it was not given to them to hear. You better hope you're in Matthew 13, 16, 17 group. Matthew 13, 16, 17 says, blessed are your eyes, for they see, and blessed are your ears, for they hear. Many long to see what you see and couldn't. Many deeply desire to hear what you hear and couldn't. You better hope you have eyes to see and ears to hear. Most of the people Jesus talked to, he didn't even want them to comprehend what he was saying, so he talked to them in parables. The disciples go, why do you always do that? He said, because to you it's been given to understand, but not to them. Let me tell you about God. The simplest phrase from God is so profound, you'll never get it naturally. The simplest phrase from God is so profound, you'll never get it naturally. You might say, well, I'll have you to know I was kumbaka kukuwaka when I graduated from college. Well, you still ain't got enough sense to figure out the smallest principle of God naturally. The natural mind receives not the things of the Spirit. Now, I wasn't exactly that. I was incarcerated the night we graduated from school. They mailed me my diploma. I took algebra 1-2 times a day for 4 years. School got my way of having fun. My drama teacher, Miss Ellis, did y'all remember her? She signed my yearbook, and here's what she said, so help me God. In my yearbook, it said, it's your fault I had a nervous breakdown. Now see, if I hadn't been to the kind of tenor I am, that could have warped me. But anyway, all of that, I'm laying that aside. Here's what we got to do. We got to be keen to study the Word of God. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We got to get into the Word of truth and let the Word of truth get into us. It'll change our whole outlook. We got to seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. In Ezekiel 44:23, yes. Ezekiel 44:23, it says, the ministry of the Zadok priest is to teach the people of God the vast difference between the profane and the holy, the worthwhile and the worthless. And I talk fast, don't I? I'll tell you why I talk fast. Do you want to know? I used to buy television time and I'm cheap. See, if I talk real fast, I get my money's worth. You see what I'm talking about? You understand that? You know what it costs to be on television now? $1,700 a minute. That's how what it costs to be on television. Each minute, click, click, click. It costs you $1,700. Well, it's high, isn't it? Well, sure. So I used to talk fast. Yeah. The cameras that we bought to shoot the TV, $40,000+ a camera. The phone will do better than that now. It was an ikigami. That sounds like tongues, doesn't it? Ikigami. Did I tell you how I got my cameras? The Lord said, go on television. I said, I don't know nothing about it. He said, go on television. So I said, okay. I went to a real fancy church. They did a nice television program. I said, I need to know all the kind of cameras. They wrote down the cameras. I needed 2 Ikigami studio cameras, and I needed a little roving camera. Only camera I'd ever bought was at Walmart to film deer hunting with, you know. So anyway, I go up there to get my cameras. And I'm in this camera shop down in Dallas, Texas. And I said, here's what I need. I need 2 Ikigamis. And the guy goes, wow, you understand they're quite expensive? I said, what are we talking about here? Now, the only camera I'd ever bought was a video camera at Walmart. And it was less than $1,000. This guy says, $47. I said, $4,700? He goes, That's what he's doing. I'm not laughing. He said, you're serious? I said, I'm serious. It's $47,000 a camera. That's what it was. So I stopped right in the middle of the camera shop and I go, hey, God, you got a problem. You don't have no cameras. Now that'll separate the salesman. So that's what I said. God, you're in trouble. You don't have no cameras. I go back to our church, standing there that Sunday morning, and I said to them, God wants me to go on television. I don't have any money to go on television. And that's it. So my wife and I are standing at the back of the door. There was a couple there never been in church, never been in our church a single day in their life. And they're coming out, and he shook hands with me. He said, do you mind if I carry you and your wife to lunch? I said, no, I don't mind that at all. Never seen him before in my life. We get there, and he and his wife are there. So he says, we want to say this to you. That's the first time we've ever been in your church. And both of our parents have died and left us the family jewels. And we've been praying on what we should do with them. We think we're supposed to give them to you. I go, okay. I didn't know anything about cameras. I knew less about family jewels. But he gave me a sack of jewels. Watch this. I sold two pieces of them, bought every bit of the camera stuff we needed, and gave the jewels back to him. See, God knows exactly how to get the money in. Isn't that cool? He gave me I sold two pieces out of that sack and gave him back the whole other. Isn't that cool? First time they'd ever been to church was a Sunday I announced, hey, I need money for television cameras. See, God's God. He's not up there going, oh, never saw that coming. He's author and finisher, not author and oops. You ever started something and go, oops? Well, Philippians 1:6 says, being confident in this very thing, he that started something good will finish it. He's author and finisher. Whatever he starts, he's going to finish. Aren't you glad? What do you do?
Pardon?
What do you do?
Oh, I'm a minister.
Are you? How long you been doing that?
I don't know. 11 years.
Well, do you like it?
Yeah.
Watch out for sheep bite. Sheep bite is pretty dangerous. You remember there's a verse the Bible says, wolves in sheep's clothing. The pretenders. You know, that's what it's talking about, pretenders. People come to church and they act like they're Christian, but they're really a wolf. Wolves in sheep's clothing. Can't you see them? They get out of the car, they tuck their tail under, they bang. Now, you'll wear yourself out trying to jerk and see if that's one. I finally figured out after all these years on how to detect the wolves in sheep's clothing. You want it? Wolves can't live on sheep food. You just stand as a pastor and give out sheep food. Every wolf in there will show himself. You see what I'm talking about? Pretty cool. Yeah, that's all right. What do you do?
Kingdom business.
Tell me about it.
Business, Indian business, government.
Indian business. Remember when I was off somewhere up here and I said, you're going to have to redraw your maps and give back the Indians their money. That happened, didn't it? Yes, it sure did. That's true. Anyway, Indian angel came to a meeting while I was in Kansas City, and he's so powerful, he bent the platform where he was standing. It's the wildest thing you've ever seen. An angel appeared in full Indian regalia. I'm preaching there in Kansas City with Bob Jones and Paul Keith Davis, and so there's this Indian like this, so I thought, I'll just step around it like this. And he stepped in front of me, nearly knocked me down. And then the Lord said, nope, the church will have to come through the First Nations people this time, not around them. That's right. That's true. And this angel was so heavy, that thing was built out of aluminum, and it bent it down where that angel stood. Isn't that wild? Well, anyway. Yeah, here's what I like. I like that you don't have to be, you know, well, I like it, brother, line upon line, precept upon precept. Listen. Here's what I do. I just jump up and shoot from the hip and see who hollers. That's what we do. Now, I'm all for studying, but I think you can get bound up with trying to go by your notes. I went to preaching school, believe it or not. Honest to God, I went to preaching school. I violated almost everything they taught me. Here's what they taught me. This is preaching school. Baptist preaching school. They said, now, when you take the podium, stand erectly behind the lectern and make it appear that you are making eye contact with everyone in the building. That's what he says. And then he says, don't flutter around as though you're attempting to fly. Here's what he said, though, for some leeway. He said, should you find it necessary to make a strong point, take 2.5 steps to the right, turn slightly, and gesture. So I raised my hand in preaching class. I said, sir, it seems like I'm in an Arthur Murray dance studio. Can't you see John the Baptist going, was that 1 or 2? Crazy mess. Just fill your heart full of the things of God and then open your mouth and let him spew it out. That's what you need to do. Pack it in, the Holy Ghost will pull it out. Well, anyway, a lot of stuff to talk about. I like the decor. Is that decor? That's pretty neat. I like that. Okay, I better get up here and talk to you about some stuff. Redneck lapel. Yeah. You have to run to keep up with me. See? All right. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about. I'm going to tell you some things I hope stretches you. For 24 years, on the Day of Atonement, I have a visitation from Jesus Christ. He'll come tell me some of the things that are going to happen in the future, and I write it in the book. This is the one for 2019. This is for 24 years now. For 24 years in the past, every day on the Day of Atonement, I'd have a visitation from Jesus Christ. He'd tell me something that's going to happen in the future. I write in a book called The Shepherd's Rod. This is the one for 2019. This is the first time that it's ever happened this way. I'll just read you just a little bit about it. I'm on page 16. God does a new thing. Welcome to Shepherd's Rod 2019, volume 24. Before I reveal the revelations, I want to share an event that is the first time. I am totally shocked, stunned, and surprised. This event is something entirely new and absolutely unexpected. Without any warning, a prophetic encounter unfolds before me on February the 9th, 2018. This is 8 months before the Day of Atonement. All these 23 years up until this point, it's always been, well, let me read it. On February the 9th, 2018, very early in the morning, around 3:30 a.m., I was awakened from a sound sleep. The Lord, in the most confident tone, spoke to me, saying, I'm going to give you the theme and the thrust for Shepherd's Rod 2019. This had never happened before. Always the revelations concerning the theme and the thrust of Shepherd's Rod would occur on the Day of Atonement. I don't have words to describe correctly how astonished I was. His statement absolutely stunned me and shocked me beyond words. For the previous 23 years, the Lord would wait until the Day of Atonement to release to me the theme and the thrust of the Shepherd's Rod. So you can imagine my complete shock and utter surprise to have this encounter on February the 9th, 2018, 8 months before the date of Atonement, September the 18th, 2018. I replied, Lord, I want your perfect will to be done. To which the Spirit of Truth said, this year's Shepherd's Rod will be about the saints of God beholding the beauty, the splendor, and the majesty of Christ Jesus on a level not previously known. This will result in a brokenness. Now, here's what he said. I'm going to reveal myself to the saints of God in a dimension they hadn't seen before. They're going to see my majesty. They're going to see my splendor. They're going to behold my loveliness, and it's going to break their heart over how neglectful we've been to give him the glory due his name. I promise you that's going to happen. We're going to see, remember Isaiah 6? I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he said, woe is me. Remember that? This is, you can read it out of James 4, 8 through 10. It says almost the same thing. God revealed himself. It broke our heart over the. So here's what's going to happen. He's going to reveal himself to us in a way we've not seen him before. We're going to see his beauty and his majesty. Somebody quoted it a moment ago during the offering time. Psalms 27 verse 4. One thing have I longed for. One thing have I desired, to see the Lord in his beauty. I'm telling you guys, we're going to see him in his beauty, and it's going to break our heart. We're going to weep like you can't imagine over neglecting him. And then it's going to change All those tears of bitterness and brokenness are going to wash away, and we're going to have tears of jubilation, because it's going to give us a choice and a chance to really tell him again how much we love him. Exhibit to him again how much we adore him. Oh, it's really amazing. And so you need to get the shepherd's rod. We talk all about it in the shepherd's rod. And then we talk about this being a year that God's going to cause us to step into our identity in such a way we demand from the devil a sevenfold payback, everything he's stolen. Sevenfold payback, I promise you. God says you're going to find him and bind him. Talking about the devil. Find him and bind him and plunder his storehouse. You can demand. The Bible said if you catch a thief, you can command that thief to pay back sevenfold. This will be the year the devil has to pay back sevenfold everything he's stolen from the body of Christ. Whoa. So I want you to get in this book. It's out there on the desk. Well, it's pretty wild. I'm telling you guys, it is amazing what God will show you if you listen. He wants to show us hidden things, secret things. What? You do believe God has secrets, don't you? Isn't it Deuteronomy 29:29? Why, sure it is. Deuteronomy 29:29 said, the secret things belong to the Lord, but the things that are revealed belong unto us and our descendants from now on. I already like that. Anything you can find in there, it belongs to you and your children from now on. Deuteronomy 29:29. Anything that has been revealed belongs to us and to our descendants. You ought to think about your descendants just a moment. God does. Here's your verse about your descendants. That means your children. Psalms 112:2. Psalms 112:2 says this. The favor and the blessings of God will get on you in such a dimension. It'll make your enemies so mad they'll gnash your teeth and walk away. But here's what that's Psalms 112. You ought to study it. It's better than a lawsuit. Psalms 112:2 says the offspring of the upright will be mighty in the earth. Look up the word mighty. It means they'll advance swiftly and they'll take charge. The offspring of the... Here's another verse about your offspring. You want it?
Yes.
Isaiah 44:3-4. Isaiah 44:3-4, God speaking says, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your descendants, and they will spring up like willows by a riverbank. If you're hungry and you're thirsty, your children will flourish. But if you're nonchalant, backslidden, your children will have bitter teeth. The parents eat bitter fruit and the children's teeth get set on edge, is what the Bible says. How do you understand we're forging the future our grandchildren will live in? You know that, don't you? That's why we got to get it right, don't you think? Mm-hmm. I do, don't you? See, I like to ask the questions, answer them too. That way, got a chance of getting them right. That's right. So what do? We find out? What do you do? What do you do? Love people? That's pretty good. By this, shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. If you can't love one for another, you can't love the other people. It starts with loving your brothers and sisters, doesn't it? By this shall all men know, wow, that you are my disciples if. Wow, don't you want to love one another? I did a whole study on one another. I mean, it's over and over and over and over. The most repetitive time is love one another. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. Provoke one another. Wow, that's what it says. So that's good. How do you love on people? Yeah. Feed them if they're hungry. Rebuke them if they're doing wrong. We have to love them enough to tell them the truth. Or we've betrayed them. We've got to love them enough to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. You go to the doctor and he says, you go to the doctor with a broke arm. He says, your ear's all right. You better get another doctor. I don't think the church can survive misdiagnosis any longer. The church needs to come out of this self-imposed amnesia. What? Self-imposed amnesia. What happens if you got amnesia? Nikki, you don't know who you are, where you are, what you're doing. Now, this is self-imposed amnesia. The church figures if we act like that, we won't be responsible for what we should be doing. Now, here's your verse. I gave this verse to you the last time I was here when we came through Canada. I gave you Psalms 115:14-15. May the Lord increase you more and more. You and your entire family. May you be blessed of the God that made the heavens and the earth. That's a great verse, Psalms 115:14-15. But I didn't quote verse 16. What does that say, brother? Here's what it says. The heavens of heavens, that belongs to God, but this earth is your responsibility. This earth is your responsibility. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The heavens, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. That means it's your responsibility. Well, how's everything going? Well, we're in a big mess. Why? Because we've not been doing this. It's easy, you know, preaching in America is pretty easy now. You just have to stand up and tell them, well, we're under a curse. See, 2017, America spent $306 billion on calamities. Fires, floods, hurricanes. $306 billion. That's almost $1 billion a day. You have to say you're under a curse. The insurance company call it act of God. Fires, floods, famines. Okay? So I stand at church and I say to the church in America, well, we're under a curse. What curse you think we're under, brother? I say 520 is a good one to start. Woe unto the nation that finds it easy to call good evil and evil good. That substitutes light for darkness, and darkness for light and bitter for sweet. Wow. Our nation passed some laws to murder babies and lit up New York bragging about it. You think God's going to bless that? No, goodness no. So I said, God, why are we under this curse? And boy, don't ask God a question if you don't want an answer. He said, I'll show you a pattern that any nation can live in a quiet, peaceful way if they will pray for the person in high authority. We're in a big curse because of the curse on Donald Trump. You've never in your lifetime seen any one man under so many word curses as our president. I publicly say I think our modern day media should be tried for treason. I tell them that. I tell them right on television. Well, I looked up Webster's Dictionary's definition of treason, an attempted throw of a setting government. If the modern day media in America is not guilty of that, I'd like to know what they are. But anyway, the Bible said if you're going to live a quiet, peaceful, undisturbed life, pray for those that are in high places of authority. So I've tried to get our people to start praying for the president. You ought to pray for your leaders. Yeah, well, yeah, no. It's your responsibility. Your responsibility. Don't you think? So what do you do, dude? A dental assistant. I pull my own tooth in school. Wisdom tooth. You know that thing you draw a circle with? You stick it, it's got a point, and you stick it down. I had a toothache, so I just went. It hurt so bad, it felt good. Honestly. A dental assistant. Zzz, zzz. I don't, you know these dentists, have you ever gone to one? You think they're mute till after they get you dead. They shoot in a bunch of that in your tongue. How's the family? Act like they can't even talk. And then they deaden your mouth and you chew half your lip. Talk to them about that. You know one thing I'm thankful about? They didn't have that gas that they got now when I was growing up. You know, I've always been the kind of person that if a little bit will do good, a bunch will do a lot better. So I went to the doctor, the dentist once, and they were going to use that gas. And they put a little thing over him. Here's what he said. Now, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put this mask on, and they're going to drop a little bit in there, and you just breathe normal. I huffed that thing, man. I'd have drilled that dude myself. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I got some stories. Did y'all, I know we're here, supposed to be here for edifying and all that, but did I tell you when I cut my tongue off? What? Cut my tongue off. Here, yeah, I did. Don't lie in church. Ask Ananias and Sapphira. I was playing football. I graduated 62. That's 1962. And anyway, the helmets then was different. You know what I mean? They didn't have a chin strap, and I was playing football. I could do that. And anyway, I'm out there, and some fast, skinny guy caught a pass, and he's running real fast. So I'm chased him down, and I leap for him just in time for his heel to catch my chin. Just like there. My whole mouth felt like it was full of Jell-O. Just like that, my whole mouth felt like it was full of Jell-O. So I cut my tongue off when I bit. So I run to the bench. Now, I'm in church, so I can't say exactly what the coach said. But he said something like, "Shucks! I got to get you to the hospital." Now, come with me to the hospital on Friday night in a one-horse town. All right. We left the lights of the football stadium, drove down there to Dr. Rom, H.H. Rom. H.H. Rom. There he is. My mouth's a mess, man. Severed my tongue. Only it's got one little thing holding it on, that thing under the bottom. So the doctor, he goes, "It's going to get bad." The doctor said, "I got good news and I got bad news." I said, "Let's hear it." He said, "The good news is I can sew it back on. The bad news is I can't deaden it. If I deaden it, you could suffocate on it." So he sewed my tongue up with no deadening at all. Come with me to that office. Have you ever seen the needle they sew your tongue? It's crooked. That's the sound it makes as it goes up through the bottom, down through the top, and in between there they tie a knot and you hear, "Ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay." Now, I know you need a translation. That means I'll knock the crap out of you when I get out of this chair. That's what I said. He sewed my whole tongue back on. So finally, he's through. It feels like my tongue's that thick. Sewed it back on. And then he says, "I got real bad news now." He says, "It's going to hurt worse when I take them out than it did when I put them in." So I said to him, I know you don't understand that. But it's just Bobby saying, "I'll tell you one thing, you're not taking them out." I took them out myself. I did. "How'd you do it?" Self-medicated. Bit the knot off and pulled them out myself. But it works. I preached all over the world with it. Thank God. Yeah. Isn't that cool? Cut myself on just like you gut a deer, fell on a saw, cut all my guts out. I had a tough time, man. This is all true. Don't lie in church. You heard that story, didn't you? I fell out of a tree on a saw. My uncle left a saw in the thing. He's been sharpening a saw like you cut down a tree. Eh? This is Canada, so I had to throw in my eh. And I was going to run, jump on the table and jump across the saw, and the limb broke. I fell right across the saw in the vice, and that's my entrails. They all fell out just like you'd gutted a deer. I mean, there they are. They're laying down there. And the back of my grandmother's house is where chickens were. There's chicken feathers, chicken crap, chicken leaves, everywhere. My grandfather, he's not a medic. He just runs and jerks up my, he doesn't say, "This looks like a spleen or it might be a kidney." He just stuffed them back in. This is all true. Picked me up, carried me in there, put me down in my grandmother's kitchen. That's when they cured meat with salt. Got a big scoop of salt, pulled back the flap. Say, "Invigorating!" This is all true, and then it's going to get real bad now. Then he goes and gets some coral, some kerosene. They cook with kerosene then. ran up a can of kerosene, pulled back the flap, threw it in. That's when my grandmother's ceiling turned purple and came down. I passed out, went unconscious. Oh, that's true. That's true. It's a miracle I made it. They never put a suture in me. They tied me together with bed sheets. Yep. And the doctor said, he said, that ain't a good word. That's what I woke up from the being unconscious. Dr. Henderson, now don't get him confused with Dr. Rom. Dr. Henderson, he's in the room with my mother going, we're not going to sew him up. We're just going to leave him open, let him drain. We don't think he'll make it. But I made it. Why? God's got a plan. Jeremiah 29:11. I know my thoughts I think toward you, declares the Lord. Thoughts of your success, not your failure. My intention is to bring you to a good end, not a dismal demise. God's plans toward us are better than we can make for ourselves. God created things for you to do before he ever made you. Where's that at? Well, Ephesians 2:10. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works which God before ordained that we'd conduct ourselves in them. Before you were born, God made things for you to do. They can put it on the board. They like to do that. I like them too. The best verse you ever can read the Bible out of is an Amplified Classic Version. That's the New King James. I'm not opposed to it, but anyway. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. That's Ephesians 2:10. I read that out of every English translation I could find in the whole earth. One translation says, you're his stroke of genius to display his God deeds. One said, you're the best God could do to display who he is. So when the devil goes, who do you think you are? I go, I'm the best God could do. Yeah, pretty neat, isn't it? There we go. There it is. For we are God's own handiwork, his own workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do the good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us. Isn't that good? Well, sure. See there? That's kind of neat. Well, we got to go. It's late. What time does school start tomorrow? Oh, it'll be all right. Y'all not in any rush, are you?
No.
Nah, me neither. I got up at 3 o'clock Charlotte time, so I can blame this on sleep deprivation. See, a lot of people want, well, you know, I want to be able to just kind of follow a trail. Nah. Have you ever found a verse that's not what you thought it was? And you shall hear a word saying, a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. I used to think that's a good word, but that's for the rebel and the renegade that went out on his own. The shepherd's always supposed to be in front of the sheep. It's goats that you're behind driving. You'll hear a voice behind you. You see what I'm talking about? What do you do?
I'm a teacher's aide.
Teacher's aide. At what age are you teaching? Grade four. The little ones, you know, no, Johnny, no! You know, you have to tell. You know. But I'll tell you what it is. It's going to be a ministry, not a job.
Yeah.
It'll be a ministry, not a job. Well, I'm tired of talking, so let's. I'll see you at the book table. Other book out there, it's on prayer. Good gracious. It's called The Audience with the King. Lord Jesus appeared to me, and he was sad. And I said, what is it? He said, my people don't like to talk to me. Least attended service in any church is prayer meeting. He said, but I'll give you a phrase that'll change the whole paradigm of prayer. It'll turn prayer from a drudgery to delight, from a duty to desire. I said, God, I want it. He said, you tell them what real prayer is. It's an audience with the King. Wow. Here's a great verse about prayer. 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. If we ask him anything according to his word, we know he hears us. If we know he hears us, we're totally confident we're going to get what we're asking. That's a good one. Here's one. John 16:24. Read part of the Bible. Jesus talking. Up until now, you've not asked. Ask now. And you'll get what you're asking so that your heart will be happy. This is a great time to get your prayers answered. You ought to look at 2 Corinthians 6:2. 2 Corinthians 6:2 said, it's an acceptable time, a time God will hear you and help you, a time of an assured welcome. 2 Corinthians 6:2 is Paul quoting Isaiah 49:8. You read that in its entirety. It says, he gives us power to restate the world from its present state of ruin. Well, y'all can look at him. Every church I ever go in, they cage the drummer. I don't know what it is. I preach in one church, so help me God. They made it out of plexiglass, and they blew up these big fish, and he looks like he's playing in an aquarium. There's fish hanging down. Yeah, it's pretty wild. Yeah. But anyway, the drummers. Yeah. Well, that's good. I'll tell you what's going to happen to you. You want a little inside information? You're going to get three dreams, a trilogy of dreams, and help you straighten out some things, okay? The three dreams will make crooked ways straight, okay? That'll be good. And it'll be Nehemiah 9:20. He gave his good spirit to instruct them and withheld not his manna from their mouth. That'll be good. You ought to study manna. Revelation 2:17 says, to him that overcomes, I'll grant to eat the hidden manna. If you eat the hidden manna, you're going to get something. It's a white stone. On the white stone is something no other human being on earth knows, according to Revelation 2:17. It's their new name. That'll be good. You'll figure that out. You got to get out of here in a minute. What do you do?
Right now, electrical contracting.
Shocking!
Sometimes.
See, I want you to settle down and have fun. Some people have just enough Jesus to be miserable. They got him in the head but not the heart. They got rules, regulations, stipulations. Chill out! Jesus was the happiest guy ever lived. He was anointed with the oil of gladness far above his brothers. Psalm 16:11 says, in his presence is fullness of joy, at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11. That's true, isn't it? What do you do?
I'm kind of retired.
What did you quit from?
What did I quit from? Well, we pastored a church for a while, and I was in sales for a lot of years and stuff like that. Office products.
Office parts?
Yeah, pens and pencils, you know.
I like pens. They got good ones now. They got the Mont Blanc.
Oh, yeah.
Listen, goodness, I've driven cars I don't think cost as much as one of them. But that's pretty neat, so that was fun. But now I just use a pencil, or the hotel has these cheap ones. Yeah, you know, I'll get those. They're designer. It says Days Inn or something like that. You know. So God bless you. Here I'm telling you, God's not near through with you. You're going to get Psalms 92:10 through 15. You're going to be anointed with fresh oil. That fresh oil will release your strength like that of a wild ox. You'll be firm and stable. That's what he says, firm. Psalms 92:10 through 15. That'll be good. She goes, oh, maybe you'll say something to me. Take everything. Just, you know, that's it. You can do that. What you going to do with yourself? Do you know yet? A heavy-duty mechanic? Does that mean the bolts are big? What do you work on? See, I'm a heavy-duty preacher. I'm sorry? On trucks and diesel and stuff like that. All right. I tell you what you're going to start doing is telling people about Jesus. It's going to boil out of your mouth and it's going to stun you. And people are going to ask you, how'd you do that? And you're going to go, I'm not sure. But God's going to put a word in your mouth. And you're going to be able to lead some people to Jesus Christ. Here's your great verse if y'all want it. How many, I can release this on you if you want it. The guy right back there in the multicolored, you want it? It's Isaiah 50 verse 4. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, I will give you the tongue of a taught one, and you'll know how to reply and respond to the people ask you, how do you make it through these dark days? How many of you want a tongue of a taught one? This is Isaiah 50 verse 4. I'll give you the tongue of a taught one, and you'll know how to reply and respond to the people. How do you make it through these dark days? So I want that, don't you? So I release it. Another thing I can release on you, if you want it, I can release on you how to retain the Bible that you read. How you can remember the Bible. Retention of what you read. Now, some of you millennials are not going to like it. Number one, you can't memorize it off a tablet. Study it off the tablet. Study it off the computer. Study it off the phone. But get you a Bible. Get something you can circle and draw. But I'll tell you what, really, I'm going to release for you now the ability to maintain the scriptures that put in your heart. You ready? It says, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind. The word sound mind means a mind that can catalog and retain facts. The greatest facts you can retain is what Jesus says. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release for these people ability to maintain and retain the teachings from the Word of God. And I thank you, Holy Ghost, you're our teacher. You'll bring up what God's put into us, and we'll be able to use what you put into us of the Word of God. So I'm releasing for them retention of the Word of God now. I release for them a hunger for the Word of God. Lord, that you would just put it in their heart to spend time reading the Word of God, meditating upon the Word of God, feeding upon the Word of God. Lord, you said, Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against Thee. So Lord, I'm asking that you would infuse us with a new hunger for the Word of God. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Let me tell you something. You never see the Bible twice the same way. It's like a diamond. Same diamond, you get it in different light. We're in the most revelatory season of any generation. We're moving into what Paul prayed, Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart will be flooded with revelatory light. You'll have a grasp and a comprehension of the ways of God. We're in that season. You can get the secrets of God if you'll pursue them. I'm telling you, He is opening heaven's door for us to come in. Revelations 4, 1 says what? After this, I heard a voice which said, come up here. And I looked and there was a door, a gate, a portal standing open in heaven. And I heard a voice that said, come up here and I'll show you, reveal to you, make known to you the things that are about to take place. It's an open season for us. Zechariah 3, 7 says that He'll give us open access to His presence. Unfettered access. Wow. I want it, don't you? Yeah. Well, sure. Well, anyway, I've had fun. There's another service tomorrow night. Tomorrow. They never asked me to sing on the praise team. When I do sing, I sing like Louis Armstrong. Hello, darling. You're looking swell. You're still glowing. That's a dead ringer for Louis. I mean, pull him up. Yeah. I like this guy back here, kind of camel-looking military shirt. What's your name? Mitchell? What are you doing with yourself? Do you know? Labor? Or who are you laboring for? Just working, or are you laboring for the Lord? I tell you, if you labor for the Lord, He'll do right by you. There's a story in the Bible about a guy that hired some people, hired one at daylight, one at dinner, one at dark, and was going to pay them all the same thing. So they got to fussing about salary. And Jesus says, go ahead, labor in my vineyard. I'll do right by you. You're going to find out He'll be the best employer you've ever had. Okay? And He'll do you fair. Won't that be something? See, that's what you've been upset about is unfaithful friends. But you're going to, right now, I'm going to release a verse in you. John 15:15. I don't call you a servant, but a friend. Isn't that something? That's what's been a burr under your saddle. Somebody's been unfaithful, but God's going to show you He's always faithful, okay? That'll be nice. Yeah. What do you do, this guy right there?
Arborist.
A what?
I work for a tree company as an arborist.
What's an arborist? A tree? A lumberjack. Crap, I did that. Arborist. That's what I did. I cut down trees and split wood and loaded cardwood, you know. Yeah, I did. Boxcar loads of it. But anyway, I didn't know I was an arborist. I'm going to get me a card saying, former arborist. Arbor Day, that's where they get it. Well, that's good. Well, God bless you. I really mean it. Something's up with you. Okay? I think God's been talking to you and you don't even think it's Him. In the book of Job, it said, I've talked to you and talked to you. You don't think it's me. So in a dream, I'll seal what I'm saying. So you're going to dream and God will seal it for you. That'll be good. See, He's already been talking to you. Just, I'll be honest with you, because you're not smart enough to believe what you're hearing. Okay? You know, those thoughts you're having, they could be yours. You're not smart enough to think them. That's God already trying to talk to you about it, honestly. He's trying to blow away the fog and let you see His plans is so much better than yours. Okay? Follow me. It'll be good. You go, good Lord, I know. You okay? Me too. I'm back here in the cheap seats. Yeah. I've been in services where people got in a fist fight to see who's going to sit on the front. Now that's preferring your brother, isn't it? I think probably the only place I found in the Bible where they literally preferred their brother was Gilgal. Y'all don't understand that, so I won't explain it. That's where the soldiers got circumcised. Oh, I insist. That's in the Bible. It's not 8-year-old babies, it's 40-year-old soldiers. And then told them, march around the city and keep your mouth shut. Can't you see that in your mind? These are the warriors. And they were supposed to go to Gilgal. And they didn't have surgical lasers. They had sharp rocks. Well, can't the service deteriorate? We went from singing about His glory to soldiers going, oh, oh. But it's all in the Word. See, if you can't do it God's way, there's no victory. Circumcised the soldiers in the eyes of the enemy and then made the soldiers march around with their mouths shut. I've never heard of it. See, there'd be so much dissension now. They'd be a church split before Monday. But see, these soldiers did what they were told. And God won a great victory. The walls of Jericho fell down. It's pretty amazing. I wouldn't like to be part of it, but listen. Okay. Well, good. Have you read this book? So you ladies, if you want some nice reading, snuggle up with Song of Solomon. Jesus Christ appeared to me and said, Bobby, I want you to read Song of Solomon. I said to him, I don't get nothing out of that book. Now that's about as dumb as you can get. Jesus told me, I want you to study Song of Solomon. I said to him, I don't get nothing out of that book. His next question stunned me. He says, you don't know anything about kissing, do you, boy? I said, apparently not. So he taught me three things about mouth kissing. Number one, you've got to be face-to-face. Number two, you've got to be really close. Number three, it's the most stimulating preparatory act before intimacy. You study into Song of Solomon. It says, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. His mouth is altogether lovely. It talks about somebody wanting to kiss you out of Proverbs 7 and 8. It's called the strange woman. You better be sure of this. She's a strange woman. She's a fake anointing. Proverbs 7 and 8. She's on the street corner whistling to the young champions. You better believe it. Somebody in this season is going to put their lips on you. The lover in Song of Solomon or the wicked woman in Proverbs 7. Who are you going to turn your face to? Wow. Anyway. They almost didn't put the Song of Solomon in the Bible because of the language it is. It's the ravished heart of God over His bride. He stands at the door and knocks. Let me in, my love, my dove, my undefiled. What does she say? It's too far from the bed to the door. That's what she said. That she's us. She's us saying no to our lover. And it says he inserts his hand into the lock of the door and wiggle the lock. That's what he's doing now. Now, he could have broken the door down, but he wants volunteer loving. He stuck his hand in, wiggled it. It says in your Bible, at that, the deepest seed of her passion explodes. Now she's in flames. She jumped out of bed. She runs to the door. She snatches the door open. But all that is left is his fragrance. But her heart's aflame. She runs to the city screaming, have you seen him in whom my heart loves? Said, the watchmen of the city are there. That's the religious people. They snatch her. They don't say, yes, honey, you went that away. They snatch her, rip away her veil, and molest her. What happened to you when you gave your heart and turned after the Spirit of God? Somebody tried to do the same thing to you. Well, you know, don't go too far into that, you know what I mean? But she wouldn't stop, would she? Her heart's inflamed. Wow. I want that to happen to us. Where we're on a passionate pursuit of Him, nothing will stand in the way. One thing I loved about the praise time, you were singing to Him, not just about Him. He deserves it, doesn't He? We need to sing to Him. He is altogether lovely. He is the fairest of 10,000. But boy, I'll tell you what. We wouldn't even be chasing him if he didn't initiate it. Draw me, and I will run after you. Study Song of Solomon. Wow. I think it's probably one of the deepest books in the Bible. Song of Solomon 2 tells us where he puts his hands on us. Wow. Study that. Study where he puts his hands on us. I won't tell you where it's at. But it's really something. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to the book table here in a minute. As soon as we finish. I grow mine out during the hunting season. You know, it won't get quite as long as yours, but it'll get down along here. And my wife, she goes, shave that off. You look like a goat, goat. You know. You know. But y'all's looks nice. I applaud y'all's beard. Yes. I'm a little jealous, but it's going to be okay. I tell them, well, anyway, let's get out here. I want to write something in your book, okay?
Oh, please.
Let's do it. With a nice pen, look. What kind of pen is that? Is that a pelican or what is this? Okay, there's a pelican that looks like that. Okay. This is a verse, but it's also a prophecy. Okay, that looks like tongues, but it's
all right.
Okay. Okay. Well, we got to get. Oh, I stepped in somebody's purse. Not really. I'm looking for the keys to the Hummer. You know. No, I'm not. Tell you what he says. He said, you're going to find something you've misplaced. Okay? You're going to find something you misplaced. And you've already given up on it that it's gone. But he's going to restore it back for you. You'll find something that's... Well, let's get out here. I'm ready to get to the book table and got to get my stuff together. Okay. The service is tomorrow night. You said if you don't hush, it's going to be tomorrow night. But, all right. Let me... I want to release. Don't you like this? Where's that guy at? I like the sound of those things. I like, my favorite sound in the whole world is a cello. That and violin. Insane people will get their minds back. If some anointed people will play a cello and a violin. I promise you, it happened for Saul. But those are pretty, what do you call that? Saxophone. I'd blow it, but you know. No. I'm going to tell you, I feel good. You know, I really do. I feel good. I feel good because, number one, you're hungry. I mean, spiritually hungry. Number two, God has a banquet for you. And all you've got to do is just sit at his table. I promise you, he's got a banquet set. And some of you feel like, well, I don't deserve. No, this is the time we get up out of the pig pen of poor perception. We come back to the Father's house to get the Father's heart. I'm no more worthy to be your son. Make me a heart. No, Father said, get me a robe and a ring. This is the time God will give to you your true identity. And your true calling. Okay? Your robe and your ring is waiting in the hands of God. Yeah. Get back up out of the pig pen. Get back to the Father's house and find the Father's heart. Okay? Remember the prodigal son. That's what that's about. Okay. Let me pray for you. Anybody sick enough to get prayer? Are you sick? If you're sick enough to get prayer, come line up across here. The pastor has a prayer team together. But God wants you well. He wants you well. It's not a toss-up. Well, God, if it's your will, heal. It's his will. By his stripes we are healed. It says in the Bible he healed them all. It says there was not one sick or feeble among them. Wow. So there has to come a day in church every sick person gets well. That's what he says. It says in Jesus' day he healed them all. And there has to come a day in our day everybody gets healed. Now here's what we got to figure out. Who's the healer? I'm going to tell you real quick, I'm not. I'm going to pray for you. And the Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person will get the job done. But there's one healer and his name's Jesus. But he wants you well. And the Bible said if any two of us will agree, and I agree with you that God wants you well. Do you agree with me? Okay, that's two of us. The Bible says if any two of us agree, we can ask God and we're going to get what we're asking. Now, here's a verse. If it wasn't in the Bible, I wouldn't even believe it. Make up your mind what you want. Tell God what that is and he'll get it for you. That's Job 22:28. You shall decide a thing. And then you decree what you've decided, and the Lord will establish it. So you've decided you won't heal. Now you're going to decree it that you want to be healed. And here's what we do. We come to God. We believe that he that comes to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. James says, we have not because we ask not. So we're asking you, Father God, here's all these men and women gathered along this front of this church here in Edmonton because you're the healer. You want them well. You paid for their healing upon the cross. Hebrews 13:8 said, you're the same, Lord Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever. You heal them all in your day. You can heal them all right here. And I'm asking you, Jesus, to heal every one of these men and women by your glorious power. We give you glory for what you're going to do. We give you glory that doctors will examine them and say, there's no problem. Everything is perfectly normal. We curse cancer, we curse disease, we curse malady. Anything the devil's trying to put on us, we say no. Lord, we say yes to you and no to the devil. We draw a line and we say we'll have no ministry from the devil. No John 10:10. We take you, Lord Jesus. We take you. You want us to have life and life abundant. We thank you now. All right. So they've got your prayer team together. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to ask that God will touch every one of you. Just to be quite honest, you don't need my hands or even theirs. You need his hand. But whatever the doctor has, one of the things we got to do, I believe most doctors do the best they can as far as diagnosis. But when they ask you, does this run your family? Say no. Because Colossians 1:13 says you've been extracted out of one family and you've been put in another family. And we need a family of faith, okay? So Lord, y'all just come around and just start laying hands on them, okay? Father, I pray you will touch each and every one of these people by your marvelous power. I thank you that you are the healer. I thank you, Lord Jesus, by your stripes we are healed. I thank you for miracles of healing here tonight in this room. I pray, Lord Jesus, that cancers will disappear, swivel, and go away. I pray for diabetes. I curse diabetes in the name of Jesus. I pray for blood disorder, that you would touch everyone's bloodstream. Everyone that and their blood would be normal, that their blood pressure would be normal. I bind stroke and anything that the devil tries to put on people, I say no. No, we want the perfect will of God. Lord, we release healing. We release healing across this room right now. You're the healer, Lord Jesus. So as we speak, let your word go deep in their heart and heal every one of them. Lord, even those that the doctor said, there's no hope. Lord, we hang on to hope. We hold fast to Hebrews 10:35. We will not fling away our steadfast confidence in you, God, because our steadfast confidence in you brings with it a great recompense of reward. So we hold on, Lord. You're a good, good God. While they're praying for you, just say, Lord, I receive healing from your hand. I give you glory. I'll give you the praise. I'll walk before the people. Testifying Jesus did this. We thank you, Father, now. In Jesus' name.